And you picked a great day to be in church, because today is going to be one of the very best kinds of sermons ever. Do you know why? Because there's snacks. I believe sermons are made better with snacks, and there are snacks. In fact, there are snacks all around the room, baskets full of snacks. You look to your left, Bob. It's right there, right there. So just for fun for today, because we're actually talking about fruit, if you are sitting near a basket of fruit, please feel free to pass that basket around. Anybody who wants some fruit, take some fruit. Now, just some things to need to know about this fruit. It is super, super fresh. It came off the tree yesterday. So thank you very much to Sean Cox, to the Garretts, to Christina Hall, to Nick. People. So we've got really, really fresh fruit. Really fresh fruit. Really local fruit. Here's the other thing that you do need to know. It has not been processed in any way. It's just straight off the tree. So remember when you were a kid and you picked up an apple off the tree and you would do kind of this thing? You kind of, you know, kind of brush it off before you eat it. You can feel free to do that too. This is absolutely straight off the tree, totally fresh fruit. You can eat it during the sermon. There are waste baskets around you can put the apple cores or the pear cores or the Asian pear cores there. I will not be offended in the least if you need to get up to drop off an apple core, or you could take them home with you. Just take as much as you like. This is fruit for all, because this is a sermon with snacks, because we are in a series on biblical symbols. Now, we communicate in symbols all the time. Now, imagine what life would be, what your life would be like if you didn't know what a red light meant. Bad things could happen, right? Imagine what would happen in your life if you had no idea what a wedding ring symbolized. You could get yourself in a heap of trouble real fast, couldn't you? These are powerful symbols in our culture. They communicate something that's vitally important. And in the same way, there are symbols in the Bible. And so we've been looking at some of those symbols over the past weeks. A couple weeks ago, we looked at the symbol of water. And then last week, the symbol of trees. And today, we're gonna finish off this little mini-series with a look at what might be my favorite symbol in the Bible, because it is by far the tastiest of all the symbols in the Bible. Fruit. So you got your fruit. You can hang on to some fruit. You can be munching on some fruit. You can be taking some fruit home with you. But make sure, let's also open up the Word of God, which is also a very nutritious form of food. And today we're going to be starting things off in Genesis 1 and 2. So see if you can find that. Get your paper Bibles out. Get your digital Bibles out. However you access God's Word. And then we'll be spending some time in Matthew 7, if you want to read ahead a little bit. And we'll also be spending some time in John chapter 15. And all of the Bible references are on the little insert as well. So if I'm moving quickly, that's where you can find all those things. Because fruit shows up really, really early in the Bible. So let's start things off with Genesis chapter 1, verses 28 and 29. So God blessed them. God blessed Adam and Eve, and he said to them, be what? Fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth. That's a lot. And every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for what?
Food.
Yeah. So, the Bible opens up with God providing us with a wonderful form of food. Fruit is a form of food, in case you're wondering about that. And the fruit of the tree is what a tree produces. And also, even here in Genesis chapter 1, we see fruit being used as a metaphor, because he's saying to Adam and Eve, go forth and be fruitful. That doesn't mean produce apples, because you're not a tree necessarily, maybe metaphorically, we can get back to that. But basically it's saying, Adam and Eve, go make some babies. Go make more of y'all. Have a good time with that. Because being fruitful is a gift. The fruit, both the biological fruit, like babies or apples, but also the character fruit. Fruit is what a tree produces, but symbolic fruit is also what our lives produce. And so we long for our lives to be fruitful. Trees make fruit, but you do too. I do too. We do as well. Go be fruitful. Then picking things up in Genesis chapter 2, this is right after, I'm going to read verses 16 and 17, but I'm reminded of verse 9. God made all the kinds of trees grow out of the ground, and then it picks things up in verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden. This one? Yep. How about this one? Yes. How about this one? Yep. How about that one? With the funny little thing? Yes, you can eat from that one. Go ahead and try it. Trees, all these trees everywhere, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You must not. For when you eat of it, you will certainly die. My doctoral mentor, Lynn Sweet, likes to put it this way. It says, there are, in the Garden of Eden, there are 1,000 yeses before there's the first no. You think about it. Now, I realize the Bible never says that there's 1,000 trees in the garden. Maybe there were fewer than that. Maybe there were many more than that. But you just think of that. Like as Adam is touring the garden and God's walking him through everything and talking about everything, he goes to this tree. Can I eat from that one? Yes. Can you eat from this one? Yes. Can I eat from this one? Yes. Can I eat from that one? Adam, we've covered this. Yes. Can we eat from this one? Yes. Tree after tree after tree after tree after tree after tree after tree. And then there's the first no. But not this one. 1,000 yeses and then one no. But wouldn't you know it? That's the one we get drawn to, isn't it? 1,000 yeses and then one no. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we looked at that symbol last week, and I believe the reason why the tree of the knowledge of good and evil results in death is because it offers us knowledge of good and evil apart from God. It's a breaking of relationship, thinking that we can achieve the good life apart from God, apart from the source of life itself. And that's why eating of the fruit of that tree results in death. But wouldn't you know it, our ancestors, they ate of it. And we have been experiencing the consequences of that ever since. And as we journey through the scriptures, we think of all the ways that fruit trees appear in the Bible, everything from there's teachings about after you plant a tree, give it at least 3 years to produce fruit, to and the trees of the field will clap their hands. There's that beautiful metaphor in there. Basically, when God shows up, it makes orchards happy. The trees and fruit are nearly universally considered a sign of God's blessing and favor. It's one of the ways we experience God's goodness, because he made this yummy stuff just so you and I and we could enjoy it. Isn't that great? I hope you're eating some fruit today. I really hope you are. I see some of those baskets, some of those have been passed around. And so crunch on in. Don't be ashamed. This is good. This is good fruit. This is a sermon with snacks. It's reminding us of God's goodness. And yet, we are also, God intended fruit for good, but there was still that one no, wasn't there? And we ate of the wrong fruit, and we've been experiencing its consequences ever since. As Jesus is teaching about this in Matthew chapter 7, he puts it this way. By their fruit, I'm reading from chapter 7, verses 16 through 20. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes? The answer is no. Or figs from thistles? Answer is no, no. Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Seems simple enough. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree, rather, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by your fruit, you will recognize them. Now, of course, what a tree produces is its fruit. And what our lives produce is our fruit. And if we are able to be really honest today, and I hope we can be, if we can strip away all the pretense and all the self-justification, the honest truth is that none of us bear good fruit. And if there is that kind of the dichotomy between good fruit and bad fruit, good trees and bad trees, which kind of tree are we? What kind of tree am I? If you bear bad fruit, you're a bad tree. And what happens to the bad trees? They get cut down and what? Thrown into the fire. These are the trees that get discarded, that get burned up. And your and my ancestors ate of the bad fruit and have been experiencing the consequences ever since. That old saying, an apple doesn't fall far from the tree. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with my brain. But you know what I mean. And when you think about it, we relate to that, right? You know, that all those things, that those wounds that come from our families of origin and from our past. And sometimes it's genetic and sometimes it's experiential. And the things we pass on to those who follow us. We mess people up. There's bad fruit. It's a lot of rotten fruit. A lot of rotten fruit from me. A lot of rotten fruit from you. So is that the end of the story? Now, on some level, if we're thinking about fruit, good fruit versus bad fruit, I mean, part of the whole story of philosophy and religion is the story of trying to tell bad trees how to bear good fruit. You know, one of the largest sections in the bookstore, remember how there used to be bookstores? There's still a few. But the largest section is the self-help section. You think each year, whether it's books, and people still write books, websites, TikToks, reels, how many of those are just dedicated to, these are things that you can do to make your life better. How fundamentally every religion in the world, except for one, is about, here's what you can do to improve your life. Here's how to get better karma. Here's the rules that you need to follow in order to please God. Here's how to make better fruit. But if we're already a bad tree, how can we ultimately expect to make good fruit? We kind of have a problem here. Is that the end of the story? No. This is where, in this metaphor, in this fruit metaphor, Jesus is absolutely unique. So just dial in with me, okay? This is where Jesus is distinct. There's no other philosopher like him. There's no other religious teacher like him. He doesn't really show up in the self-help section either. I mean, sometimes bookstores misplace things, but... And when it comes to the fruit metaphor, he introduces something that is incredibly powerful. And if there's one image that I can send home with you, like that you can just carry and think about all week long, well, we see it in John chapter 15. It's one of the best chapters, in my estimation, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. I want to read verses 1 through 6, and then we're going to talk about it. We're going to illustrate it. We're going to take a closer look at this really vitally important concept when it comes to trees and fruit, and if it's even possible to get good fruit out of a bad tree. Let's read it. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. Jesus said, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. Okay. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. What? Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, Jesus says. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Branch, vine, attached to the vine or not attached to the vine. What's he talking about? Now, in orchards, they do this thing. It's called grafting. Let's put a picture of an actual graft up. See, that's what like a real, actual skilled orchardist would do for a graft. I want us to spend some time with a little bit of an illustration. Come on a little journey with me. I think our media team is going to help us out a little bit with this. Okay. All right. Now, obviously, we're not growing trees in the worship center, but when there's a graft, there are branches from a different tree that get attached to a brand new tree trunk. I am the trunk. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do what? How long do you think this branch is going to last? Not long. It's going to be kindling pretty fast. But now I realize this is an illustration. We don't actually have a fully rooted tree here. But if it was properly grafted, could it bear fruit? Yes. If it was grafted properly by a skilled orchardist, that is. Not a skilled piano player. Could it bear fruit? Okay, but let's just meditate on this a little bit. For the branch to be connected to the trunk, what needs to happen to the trunk? What's happened to this trunk right here? It's been cut. It's been wounded. It's been severely wounded. Does that sound familiar at all? By his wounds we are healed. It's the wounded. The trunk must be wounded for the grafting to be complete. On a lesser level, the branch needs a wound as well. On the lesser level. If this branch, I mean, you need to remove some bark from the branch. You need to create a tender area in the branch for the branch to successfully graft to the trunk. When you think about it, when we come to Christ, there's a form of wounding that happens in us as well. Maybe you think of it as a wound of honesty. We get stripped of some of our bark. We realize we're a lot more vulnerable than we'd like to think. Dear God, I don't have it together. Dear God, I cannot produce good fruit on my own. I need your life inside of me. So there's a humility that comes, or that is essential for the branch to be able to graft to the trunk. Now, imagine this branch here has been grafted for some time, and then, well, a storm hits. And the branch gets disconnected from the trunk. Will the branch bear fruit? No. But what potentially could happen to the branch that would allow it to bear fruit again? You guys are really quiet. Okay. What could happen? It's just us talking. What could happen to the branch that would allow the branch to bear fruit again? It could what? It could be reconnected. It could reconnect. And for some, maybe even this is what the Lord just, oh good, nice, good, tight shot. Okay. Maybe this is what the Lord wants to say to somebody here today. You feel like you're over here. Here's what I want you to do today. One of the great things about grafting is you can also regraft. Isn't that good news? We get ourselves disconnected from the very source of life. And it is never too late to reconnect. If you're not dead, you're not done. And you're not dead. That our Savior would willingly give his life on the cross, would endure the most severe wounding imaginable, right to and beyond the point of death. The very giver of life would choose death so that you and I, these dead branches, otherwise dead branches, could be connected to him. His life could flow through you. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. By his wounds, we have been healed. And his life can live inside of us. And when you have felt disconnected from God, there is second chances, and third, and fourth, and you and I, we can re-graft. Another thing I notice about the tree. Now, you are a branch. I am a branch. But how many trees are you aware of that have only one branch? You have a tree with one branch?
We have this big, huge light thing in the front yard.
Okay. So there are some tree challenges in Morgan's house. I'm picking up on that vibe. But when there's a tree, most trees have multiple branches, correct?
Yes.
Correct. Look around. That's also why we need one another. As you and I and we, thanks media team, as you and I and we walk with Jesus, we do not walk alone. There's other branches on the tree that have also been grafted to the tree. Here's one more piece about this grafting thing that just kind of gets me excited. Is when branches are grafted to a tree, you can actually have different types of branches grafted to the same trunk. My parents at their house, they might be watching right now, anyways. But they've got a tree that's got a branch that bears peaches, another one that bears apricots, and another one that bears plums. Anybody else have trees like that with like multiple? Yeah, there we go. One. You guys all got to check out the tree technology. It's fantastic. So you can have multiple crops from a single tree because the branches are grafted onto the tree. Any of those branches on their own wouldn't produce a thing. That's just dead wood, but connected to the trunk. The life of the trunk gives life to the branches, and the branches have a chance to be fruitful. A chance to be fruitful. So what does fruit for us look like? Well, this whole metaphor of the grafting, Paul would expand on it in Romans chapter 11, and certainly the metaphor of fruit, Paul would expand on it in Galatians chapter 5. We're going to be in the book of Galatians starting next week for about the next 8 weeks after that. But let's just take a look at this one really key verse about fruit, because fruit's awesome. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the, what is it? The key word? Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In other words, when your branch is connected to the trunk, you should expect to see those things increase in you. That's what his nourishment, that's what the spiritual nourishment of Christ in your life produces. You become less of a jerk and you become more patient and peaceful and kind and a whole bunch of other things. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's how we know and we see God at work. And if you've ever walked with someone who's come to Christ and you can watch the transformation that happens over the years, have you seen this? Have you experienced this in yourself? Who here would say, I'm not sure you would like to know me before I knew Jesus? Can anybody honestly say that? Look around. And the rest of you, you're kind of liars. And you really need Jesus because he will make you more pleasant to be around, because that's the fruit of the Spirit. On our own, we're a bad tree because we've inherited a bad root. But if when you change your root, you change your fruit. There's good gospel in that. We have been grafted into the branch. You got me? So for this branch, we're going to go back to the branch just for a second. I know I'm a little out of sequence, but I'm having fun. Okay. Back to the trunk. Back to the trunk. Here we are. All right. Oh, you guys are awesome. Okay. So For this branch, what is its new, when it's grafted to this trunk, what is its new foundation? Is it the trunk it used to have, or is it the new trunk that it's been connected to?
The new trunk.
If you are a follower of Jesus, let me see your eyes, then your core identity is Jesus. Right? By the way, this is one of the larger conversations in culture right now. Whether that is issues of sexuality or gender, is, you know, what is my core identity? Or honestly, that's why some people are going absolutely berserkoid for politics. Because when we forget what our true identity is, we start looking for all these other sources of identity. But if you belong to Jesus, what is the foundation of your identity? It's because he is what? He is the vine. He's the vine that's the vine. And you are the branch. And when you are in him and he is in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from him, you can do nothing. And you think about it, that as each branch is connected to the trunk, and some of them, use the grafting metaphor, maybe even have branches from different trees. Maybe ones, this is actually all from the apricot orchard next door. I got owner's permission, just so you know. But you could probably graft a peach branch onto that apricot tree, and it would bear peaches, even though it's connected to an apricot trunk. You know, when you come to Christ and he becomes your core identity, it doesn't make you it makes you more you-ier. Because his life flows into your life. It doesn't make you less of who you are. It makes you more of who you are, because now you're no longer just bearing bad fruit. You want to improve your fruit? Improve the root. New root, new fruit. Now, just like trees and fruit show up in the beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, it also shows up at the very end. Among the closing passages of the Bible. I want to spend just a moment with this one. So Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 and 2, we read this last week, but it's so foundational. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, yielding or bearing 12 crops of fruit. Let's just spend a little moment meditating on that. 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. 12 crops of fruit. Now, there's a number of things that this vision doesn't completely explain. So some theologians and artists, even as they're trying to imagine this scene, and I hope you do, you know, imagine this great river, and they is this a tree that somehow spans the river? Like it's just like kind of like a tree bridge over the river? Maybe it's a little like that, this tree of life. Or I've seen it illustrated as this giant tree in the middle of the river, so the river kind of surrounds the tree. We don't know. But there's also this question. What about this crop business? Is this like the same fruit that just happens? Like you've got a January apple, February apple, March, April, May, June, July, August, and etc. apple? Or maybe this is also a continuation, perhaps, of that grafting metaphor. And that there's fruit in every season, fruit enough for every person. And maybe there's even variety in the fruit. Because if Jesus truly is the vine and we truly are the branches, and as we graft our lives to him, his life becomes our life. And the bad fruit we used to produce starts becoming his good fruit. Perhaps even in this revelation image is also that image of the diversity that exists in the body of Christ. We are not all exactly the same. That is such a gift. But we have one, the church has one foundation, and that is Jesus Christ, her Lord. There is one root. There is one trunk. Because I don't know about you, but I really want my life to bear good fruit. There is nothing, I get emotional every time I talk about this. There is nothing I care about more than that my children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren know Jesus. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And if I am just doing life on my own, my fruit, my long-term fruit will be bad fruit. The apple didn't fall far from the tree. And so there is sin that I have inherited. There is sin that I have produced. And on my own, I will bear bad fruit. And my children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and however many generations there is until Christ returns, will reap the consequences. But Jesus says, if you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear what? Much fruit and good fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. So as we think about this metaphor of fruit, maybe even as you have fruit in your hand, to be just thinking about what fruit do you want to leave for the next generation? What legacy do you want to leave for the next generation? There is nothing more vital for you to experience and pass on than that your life would be deeply, deeply connected to Christ. That's why time in the Word matters. That's why time in prayer matters. That's why corporate worship matters. That's why forming Christian friendships matter, so that our lives can be rooted and established in Christ. So Lord, help me bear good fruit. Is that your prayer today? Would you bow your heads with me? Just take a little bit of time with that. And I hope you even carry that image of grafting with you this week. You and I and we have been grafted into Christ. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Lord, that is our prayer this morning, that our lives would be fruitful. Lord, I want my life to be fruitful. And I know, God, the only source of good fruit is you. So, Lord, help me, help us to be and stay connected to you. There are so many things that try to pull us away, forces inside us, forces around us, that try to pull us away, that try to disconnect us from the very source of life itself. But Lord, help me to remain in you. Friends, I just invite you under your breath just to talk to Jesus about that, what it means for you to be connected to him, to be grafted to him, that he is your identity. Just take a moment under your breath. Just talk to him about that. Lord, help me to be fruitful. And if for some reason today you feel like you are disconnected from Christ, take a moment and ask him to receive you again. Thank God in Jesus there are second and third and fourth and hundredth chances. So Lord, may our lives be truly fruitful. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Let's respond in song.